JSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs on our website.
From the Netherlands, this is the Green Planet Monitor, voices and stories from a warm, wet planet. Today, living on the edge of Inferno, perfectly normal for the people of Iceland, land of volcanoes and ground cracks spewing red-hot magma.
We have many volcanoes. What matters most for people are the volcanoes that are very close to population. Unfortunately, this activity on this part of Iceland where it is now occurring, it is actually not that far from our capital, Reykjavik, where most of the population lives. There are villages that are threatened.
Putting magma in the rock it turns into to work, injecting atmospheric CO2 into it, turning that CO2 into limestone for good.
Rocks from the Earth's mantle that are within a few kilometers of the surface, and so they're accessible, more or less, to drilling, could take up about 40 trillion tons of carbon dioxide. So that's about 1,000 years of human output at current rates.
This is the Green Planet Monitor. I'm Dave Kattenberg. Help us deliver this weekly package of Earth news. Subscribe at greenplanetmonitor.net. Some like it hot, or at least they get used to it. In Iceland, where volcanoes belch hot gases and volcanic cracks burst open, spewing 1,000-degree magma across the landscape, volcanism is a way of life. This past November, the town of Grindavik, population 3,400 on Iceland's Reykjanes Peninsula, was evacuated as red-hot magma, 1,200 degrees hot, that's 2,200 Fahrenheit, started pouring out of a nearby crack. Iceland owes its very existence to this superheated fluid. The world's 18th largest island is formed from magma, oozing out of a huge fissure on the bottom of the North Atlantic, where two of Earth's largest tectonic plates originate, spreading apart from each other. As they spread, magma rises, solidifying into basaltic rock and forming a ridge. Iceland, about the size of southern Britain, is perched on top of that mid-Atlantic ridge. Sometimes it's quiet, relatively speaking. Every few thousand years, things heat up. That's what's happening now. To learn more about Iceland and its geology, I reached out to Freysten Sigmundsson, a geophysicist at the University of Iceland in Reykjavik. Hello, Freysten Sigmundsson. Thank you for joining me on the Green Planet Monitor.
You're welcome.
Can you introduce yourself? Tell me who you are and a little bit about your work, your science.
Yes. So I am from Iceland and I live in Iceland. I'm a geophysicist and I study our natural laboratory that we have in Iceland. My main focus has been ground deformation, processes that take place inside the crust of the Earth and the mantle and how we see them in the deformation of the surface of the Earth. And in Iceland, we have different processes. We have the plate spreading. We are sitting at the plate boundary, so we can see how the tectonic plates are moving apart and measure that. We can measure effects from glacial retreat as our planet warms. The ice caps in Iceland are retreating, and that reduces pressure on the surface of the Earth. And I'm measuring and monitoring the uplift and studying that. And then there are earthquakes and volcanoes, I guess I'm here because of the volcanoes, because we can use ground deformation techniques, basically measure precisely, for example, uplift of a volcano. If there is an uplift, it normally means there is a pressure increase in the roots of a volcano, and we can try to figure out this source. Or if there is a magma-filled crack forming, the crust of the Earth is pushed to the side, and we can measure this. So I have been using geodetic techniques for now some decades. I did my PhD in the United States, University of Colorado in Boulder, when the so-called GPS, Global Positioning System, geodesy, was a very young technique and brand new. It's the same technique how we get locations in our mobile phones from satellites. We can use this for very precise measurement of the movements of the Earth. And we have a whole team here at the University of Iceland and the Nordic Volcanological Center, where I am, that is measuring ground deformation with satellite techniques, both the GPS technique, we call it now GNSS, Global Navigation and Satellite System. But there are also ways to do this directly from radar satellites, where we compare images acquired by radar satellites. So with these ground deformation data, we have been interpreting what is happening inside the Earth.
Let's get back to all that. But before we do, since early February, there's been a state of emergency declared in Iceland after lava started flowing from one of these cracks and thousands of people evacuated from the Reykjanes Peninsula have been urged to get out. And this is the third such eruption on the Reykjanes Peninsula since December. Is the state of emergency still underway? And can you tell me what is happening?
So what is happening is, people have not been able to move back to the town of Grindavík. So that is where the effect has been most major, because there we have both the hazards and effects of it. We have the effects of a formation of a magma-filled crack initially inside the ground, and then later eruptions, and it is both the threat from fractures and opening of new fractures or opening of basically collapses of soil into new fractures. This is a very serious threat. And then it is the threat from lava flows.
And so this crack has opened up in the ground and there's magma coming out.
Yes, but there was also cracks without magma coming to the ground, and we have actually paid a very particular attention to the beginning of this activity on this peninsula. It was preceded by increased pressure inside the ground, uplift of a volcanic center close by, and this uplift manifested very likely accumulation of magma prior to the events in the crust at about 5 to 6 kilometer depth. And then there was a critical limit and the magma could flow out from this crustal volume that was accumulating magma, the liquid that comes out of a volcano. And on 10th of November last year, there was a major event, actually the biggest crack we have seen forming so far in the episode of activity on Reykjanes Peninsula, formed on 10th of November, and then it was there was no eruption on the surface. But this magma-filled crack, it was filled with magma at depth, but the magma did not come to the surface. On the surface, however, there was extensive fracturing and faulting and movement on fault planes. So there was a lot of cracking in the town of Grindavík. And people needed, that was the first time the population of Grindavík was evacuated.
And this is dangerous. I mean, it's scary. People can fall into these cracks. And somebody, am I correct that somebody fell into one of these cracks?
Yeah, there was a terrible accident, a person working to fill these cracks. The initial idea was to make the town safe. So fill up the cracks with soil or gravel so nobody would fall into them. But there was a sudden collapse at one of these major cracks. And indeed, there has been one death of a person that was working in an operation trying to make the town safe.
How deep are these cracks?
They can be 10 to 20 meters deep, and they can be 1 or 2 or 3 meters wide or even more. And they are forming because of the plate spreading process here in Iceland. We are at a divergent plate boundary, meaning two of the tectonic plates, the major tectonic plates, are moving apart. They move apart about the same speed as your fingernails are growing. It's about 2 centimeters per year.
And what's moving apart from what? You've got three plates there, so can you describe these plates? What are they doing?
Yeah.
And they're beneath, obviously beneath the ocean. Like Iceland is sitting on the top of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge.
Yeah.
There's this mountain chain, this sharp ridge right beneath the ocean where Iceland is. Iceland is actually sitting on top of the ridge.
Yes. There is a special explanation why Iceland is above sea level, because most of this mountain chain, the mid-oceanic ridges of the world, they are below sea level. The average depth is about close to 3 kilometers. But here in Iceland, this mountain chain sticks above the ocean. And that is due to excessive upwelling of hot material inside the earth under Iceland that is causing excessive volcanism. We sometimes refer to it as a mantle plume. There are somewhat different theories, but there is excessive heat and mantle upwelling under Iceland. And for these places on Earth, we refer to them as hotspots. Some others include, for example, Hawaii. Hawaii is a hotspot where there is excessive volcanism. That is not on a mid-oceanic ridge, just in the interior of a plate. But here in Iceland, we have a combination. We have a combination of a mid-oceanic ridge and hotspot. And it is the interaction of hotspot and the ridge that causes Iceland to rise above sea level. And that is explains the existence of Iceland. But then we have the plates. So the surface of the Earth is a mosaic of tectonic plates that are in movement. And in, here in Iceland, we have two of the tectonic plates separating from each other. And these are the North American plate and the so-called Eurasian plate.
So these are the North American plate is what North America is sitting on top of, and the Eurasian plate is what the Eurasian continent is sitting on top of.
Yes, it is all the ocean as well. The edge of these plates are here in Iceland. And for example, the North American plate, the other edge of it in the far west would be at the San Andreas Fault and the seismicity zone offshore, the coast of Oregon and the volcanoes on the west coast of the U.S., they are part of the other edge of the plate. So the plate is moving steadily.
It's moving west.
Yes, to the west. And the other plate is moving to the east, and that causes stretching of the ground in Iceland. And there is, in essence, basically a space problem, because we cannot extend these plate boundaries indefinitely. So the magma comes in and creates often vertical magma-filled cracks. In geological terms, we can refer to them as magmatic sheets, because they have aspect ratios like a piece of paper, very thin compared to their dimensions. So the magma-filled crack that formed on 10th of November was about vertical in the ground. It was 15 kilometers long, and it extended from about 1 to 5 kilometer depth in the crust. And the opening or widening was on the scale of meters. The maximum widening was 8 meters, but it is variable. It was maybe on the order of 2 to 3 meters of average opening of this magma filled crack. But the issue is that in this case, in 10th of November, it did not make it to the surface, but the topmost kilometer of the crust basically fractured. And there we had more like seismic faulting. We had normal faults or slip on earthquake planes that caused subsidence and cracking above this major magmatic sheet that formed very rapidly on 10th of November. So in this event, the destruction of the town of Grindavík began.
So these two plates, the North American plate and the Eurasian plate, they're actually originating from this, from the margin between the two plates. They're spreading, is that right? The ocean floor is spreading, the North American plate heading west and the Eurasian plate heading east. And as they spread, they're being fed by magma coming up?
Exactly. The plates are being generated at the mid-oceanic ridge system of the world. There are eruptions that are along the entire length of the mid-oceanic ridge system. There is new, we can say there is new crust of the Earth being formed. And this is this activity period in Iceland we are now seeing is a part of forming new crust of the Earth by magma coming from depth into the topmost crust of the Earth or erupting at the surface.
Now, I gather, the last time long ago that there was this sudden bout of volcanic activity was like 800 years ago.
Yes.
which went on for months and months. But since then, it's been quiet. But then things have started to pick up in, 2001?
Yes.
So why are things picking up? And they've been particularly accelerating since 2021. And now, since December, things are things accelerating?
They are episodic. We know that the volcanic activity is very episodic. And so, well, on a short time scale, they are accelerating. It's the beginning of a new activity phase. But then they will decline later on. So it is not an overall acceleration of magmatic activity on planet Earth. It is just so irregular, and the quiet times are normally much longer than our attention span or memory or lives. So it appears that suddenly it is accelerating, but it is very I would just say it is episodic.
Because people would say, people who are really know nothing about these things, they think, boy, Earth is in the middle of a crisis. It's the climate crisis, the biodiversity crisis. Earth systems are really totally out of whack. We're now in a totally new epoch, some say, the Anthropocene. And then they look at what's going on in places like Iceland, volcanic activity. They think, oh dear, Earth is rebelling.
I think we have no evidence of that yet in Iceland. It is so very episodic. We have had activity periods in the past that have been much more extensive than what we are seeing now. It is just we have more people on the planet, so we observe the events better, and we have information flow like never before on our planet, so we hear about the events that are happening in real time very quickly.
And Earth is more populated. Like, what's the population of Iceland? How many people live in Iceland? And, as people are living there, so they're living right on almost sitting right on the edge of a volcano.
Yeah, well, when people hear about Iceland, they think of a small island and all people being in a danger if there is an eruption, but that is not the case. The dimensions of our Iceland are such that, it's about 300-400 kilometer wide island, 200 miles. So there is plenty of space here, and we have only about 360,000 people here. So we are very few in Iceland. So we are not densely populated, but there are areas, having said that, there are towns like the town of Grindavík that has been built in a zone of volcanic activity in the past, and that is now picking up, and that causes threat and great problems for the inhabitants of the town of Grindavík that were about 3,000 to 4,000 prior to the beginning of the event. So these people have needed to move away, but we have other parts that are quite safe, but there can be influence on more localities and properties, and in particular infrastructure. So our infrastructure is vulnerable for the activity. For example, heating of houses in Iceland. We have very many benefits from the volcanoes, like geothermal activity. We have most of the houses in Iceland are heated by hot water from the geothermal areas. But it means that the geothermal areas are on volcanoes, so they are vulnerable. Our power plants and the pipelines with hot water can be destroyed. And that happened in the most recent eruption, that there was temporarily loss of heating. Not to the town of Grindavík that had been evacuated. There have been major problems there with all kinds of infrastructure. But this was influencing a wider area because there was a pipeline with hot water to heat houses here during winter time that was destroyed by a lava field.
And you've got 33 active volcanoes in Iceland, if I'm correct, 33?
Yeah, and they are distributed along the plate boundary. So we have many volcanoes. What matters most for people are the volcanoes that are very close to population, close to properties and infrastructure. And unfortunately, this activity in this part of Iceland where it is now occurring is much closer to, it is actually not that far from our capital, Reykjavík, where most of the population lives. And these areas, very, very close, there are villages that are influenced and threatened.
And I mean, Iceland is a small island. You're saying there are only about 300,000 people living in Iceland, but there's 33 volcanoes. So you're really not far away from any of the volcanoes. They're all pretty close.
Well, it depends on what you consider far. We are more than here in the capital of Reykjavik. We have mostly five volcanoes that are within 100 kilometers. So the others are, most of the volcanoes are in very remote places. So yeah, people think of Iceland as a small island, but yeah, think about it, it has a dimension of 300-400 kilometers.
Talk about these volcanoes. And we've been talking about cracks that magma comes out of and steam. We've got bona fide volcanoes that spew things into the air. What do these volcanoes spew out? What's the content of their eruptions? Because there are different types of volcanic eruptions.
Yeah. In Iceland, I would say we have everything in terms of volcanology. We have all different types of volcanoes. But the most typical eruption for Iceland is a long fissure eruption that brings up a magma type we call basalt. But most importantly, they classify as effusive volcanoes. They deliver this liquid magma, that is the hot material inside volcanoes that flows as a liquid, and it comes to the surface here in Iceland. Most of it comes and flows along the surface of the earth.
So these are not like we think of volcanoes as mountains.
Yes.
Poking way up.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is a volcano that's really just consists of a fissure.
Yeah, and the volcanoes here in Iceland and in general at these plate boundaries where plates are moving apart have a hard time building up because they are destructed all the time by cracks and fissures. So most of the volcanic region of Iceland is very flat-lying and consisting of a series of fissures that have erupted and not a high-rising volcanic edifice.
And how about the high-rising volcanoes, those high-rising volcanoes that back in, 2000, when was it, 2011, when air traffic was all throughout Europe was closed?
That was a high-rising volcano, yeah, more like what people expect of a volcano to rise up with a significant volcanic edifice. But where the activity is happening now, it is relatively flat ground, so the eruptions are happening where the volcanic edifices are not so high as people envision typically.
And how about, like, you know, I'm not a volcanologist, but I read about like pyroclastic flows and spewing ash and gases, toxic gases and stuff like this. Where does this happen in Iceland?
Well, it happened in 2010. A lot of ash came up. In 2010, there was if people remember, the eruption here in Iceland that closed the airspace and had a huge influence on flights. And that is because there was a lot of material that was airborne. There, the liquid, when it came to the surface, basically exploded into fine particles and was blown up into the air. And this is a type of explosive eruption.
Is that what's called a pyroclastic event?
Pyroclastic means something, basically, it goes to Latin, it means broken by fire. So it is, the liquid lava is broken into pieces, but a pyroclastic flow has a special meaning in volcanology. It is when these eruption plumes that are going up into the air, if they suddenly collapse and there's a pyroclastic flow, that there is basically a mass of hot ash and air that flows down the slopes of volcanoes very rapidly. These are the most hazardous events. We have them rarely here in Iceland. They are quite frequent in many parts of the world where we have more of this explosive activity of volcanoes. Here in Iceland, the typical eruption is producing a lava, this liquid that flows on the surface. We would say it is effusive. There is very little proportion of the erupted material that goes up into the air, but most of it flows on the ground as a lava flow. This is more typical for Iceland, and that is what has been happening now in the eruption since November. We had one in December, January, and February. But in Iceland's past, we know we can have explosive eruptions as well, and they are a significant part of Icelandic eruptions, but the activity phase now is made up of effusive eruptions with lava flows on the surface, where there is this liquid hot material about 1,000 degrees Celsius that is flowing along the surface of the Earth.
Now, some of the phenomena that happen in Iceland as the result of all this volcanic activity is very pleasurable, like the, you know, hot springs where people bathe in the Blue Lagoon.
Yes.
Tell me about the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, so we have, as I say, lots of benefits from the volcanoes in the form of creating electricity from geothermal resources, from hot water that is used to heat our houses. But then there are also resorts like the Blue Lagoon, which is very interesting for people to come to, because there's a lagoon that is filled with geothermal water in a lava field. And this resort, the Blue Lagoon, is actually very close to the center of the activity. It is basically very close to where magma, this liquid inside volcanoes, is accumulating in the ground at about 5 to 6 kilometer depth. And then magma finds its way to the surface into these magma filled cracks. But that has been a few kilometers to the site or away from the Blue Lagoon. So that has been safe so far.
But the lagoon is, it's blue and it's warm and people bathe in it.
Yeah, it is blue because of the silica content. There is silica in the liquid. It is geothermal water. And it is a very popular place to take a bath, yes.
It's kind of like those lakes, those rivers and lakes in Alberta in Canada that are fed by eroded material from glaciers, and they're beautiful. They're azure, they're green because of the silica.
Yeah, it has turned out to be one of the most popular tourist attractions in Iceland, the Blue Lagoon. So many people want to come see the Blue Lagoon and take a bath in this spa or resort. So a big magnet for tourism here in Iceland, but it is in the center of the activity. So it has had some days when it is closed because of hazard, but others when it has been open. But we need to see what the future will be for this area. There is some uncertainty, but there are many other fantastic places in Iceland to visit, so people should not be worried. There's lots of safe places to visit here in Iceland. It is just a tiny part of the overall island that is affected.
I've been wanting to visit Iceland for years because the geology is so wonderful. I've always been a rock hound. Is Iceland getting bigger because of all this magma that's coming to the surface and then solidifying and all this fabulous rock?
There is new crust being formed, but the issue is there is also erosion at the coasts, at the other end, one can say, at the edges. So we don't really know very well. My evaluation would be it is roughly in balance. There is new material. For example, if I take the distance between the east and west coast of Iceland, this distance is getting longer by about 2 centimeters every year because of the plate spreading. But the erosion of the sea, of the sides, may easily erode equal amount from the coastlines. So we haven't done a detailed study, but eventually roughly in balance.
Let me ask you, Freysten Sigmundsson, and thank you so much for your time. How does all this volcanic activity, like sitting right at the pinnacle of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, with all this volcanic activity going on, it's part of the personality of the landscape. How does this affect the personality of Icelanders? Do Icelandic people have a certain kind of, do they inhabit a certain headspace, or do they have a certain kind of personality that reflects the geology of the country?
I think we all realize that we are living in a land of natural hazards. We have more hazards. We have snow avalanches and rock slides. So we have many natural hazards, and we are trying to live with them. I guess all people that live on isolated islands have a somewhat special character, but we try to show strength when we are faced with consequences of natural hazards. The society is we are trying to help each other out. It's both at a governmental level, but for example, in these events when people needed to evacuate, there were people around Iceland that offered apartments or place to stay